What can fossils teach us about the future of climate change? I'm Dr. Lynn Pascarella, president of the Association of American Colleges and Universities. And today on the Academic Minute, Brian Schubert, associate professor in the School of Geosciences at the University of Louisiana, digs in to look ahead.
We learn as children that all plants require water and carbon dioxide to grow. The water comes from rain or melted snow that infiltrates into the earth and enters the plant through the roots, while the carbon dioxide diffuses through pores into the plant's leaves. Every plant on planet Earth uses these two ingredients to form new compounds via photosynthesis. When the plant dies, a fortunate few are buried beneath layers of silt and sand, removed from the ravages of oxygenetic decomposition and preserved in the geologic record. As a geochemist, my job is to analyze the chemical remains of these fossilized photosynthesizers to answer questions like, when was the last time carbon dioxide levels were as high as today? And how will global warming affect precipitation patterns across the planet? To answer these questions, we study the products of photosynthesis that have been locked away for millions of years within fossilized plant remains. We do this using a specialized piece of equipment called an isotope ratio mass spectrometer. This machine has a giant magnet that separates and then counts individual molecules freed from within the fossils by first heating to over 1,000 degrees Celsius. These liberated molecules contain the exact same carbon and oxygen atoms that once made up the carbon dioxide and water that were combined many millions of years ago by the plant's photosynthetic machinery. Our work has shown that these compounds provide a chemical fingerprint of the amount of rainfall that fell over the forest and the amount of carbon dioxide available for photosynthesis many eons ago. Our end result is a veritable weather report of changing climate across millions of years of Earth history that implicates changing carbon dioxide concentrations as the primary perpetrator for perturbing Earth's climate past and present.
That was Brian Schubert of the University of Louisiana. You can find this, other segments, and more information about the professors at academicminute.org.
Production support for the Academic Minute comes from AAC&U, Advancing Liberal Learning and Research for the Public Good.